Good morning.
Good morning, Shalom. How are you?
Shalom. I'm doing well.
Excellent.
How about yourself?
I'm good. I slept like a rock, as they say. I haven't slept like that in a long time. Well, it's been a while.
The session we had yesterday plus last night was beneficial.
I think so. I was really happy after it. I really was feeling lady. I turned on my candle because it was weird because I had heard something about that today somebody was going to be doing, they were going to be doing a teaching on Chel, and I couldn't understand what they said. You know, is there something going on? And then sure enough, you're going to be talking about it. So it was lovely. It was like, it was meant to be.
Well, it's every day you can connect to a tzaddik. I have a list on the website by month. It's called Hilulah.
Right.
It's a link underneath the two pictures. And by just mentioning their names, some you I have more information on, but it's helpful. It really is to utilize the light of a tzaddik.
Yeah, but I had never really, and yesterday was the first time, and it was interesting how it came about. But I listened to the song afterwards that you mentioned, but I couldn't hear very well. The courage. Wait a minute, it was the courage song from Rachel.
Right. Rachel Amanda's song.
Yeah. And so I listened to it before I got ready for bed.
Has joined.
It's really a beautiful song. Good morning.
Morning.
We will begin today is the fifth Aliyah, and there are 10 verses that's read as the fifth Aliyah, and we know the number 10 connects to the 10 Sephirot. And also the number 10 represents the concept in Kabbalah as Partsuf. Partsuf is a face. It's an indication of a completion, a state of completion. It's not a complete the complete completion of a tikkun, but it's an indication of a stage of completion in the process. The idea of a face is an interesting word, because in Hebrew we almost never use the word face as a singular word. It's always in the plural. Panim is the Hebrew word. Partsuf is the Aramaic word. Why is it always in the plural? Because your face is what people see. But there's always an internal feeling or image of yourself. So whenever someone sees your external face, there's always an internal face. And what we strive to do is to match the external to the internal. When a child is happy, their whole body expresses that joy. Their internal is matched with their external. And that is the goal. To be as happy like a child. where you are exuding that internal energy of joy. And it shows throughout your body. It shows on your face. That's the goal. We'll start with a L'shem Yichud. The verses are starting with chapter 14, verse 21, and runs through chapter 15, verse 6 of the book of Genesis. L'shem Yichud, Kutshab Rechu, Ishkinte, Bidkilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu, Le'achda, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavadhe, Be'yichuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La'asok Torah Mitzvah, Zayhino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu benenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu benenehu. Vayomer melech Sedom el Avram en li, Hanefesh behar kush ha'la. Vayomer Avram el melech Sedom harimo tiyadi el Adonai Yohei Wahei Adanu yo Yohei Dawanu heyo el Elyon Kone Shamayim Waret Imichut V'yad Shuro Na'ale Imekach Mikol Asher Lach Lo Tomar Ani He'esharti Et Avram Biladai Rak Asher Achlu Hana'ari V'chelek Ha'anashim Asher halku iti aner Eshkol mamre heim yichu helkam Achar hadvarim ha'ele haya Var Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo El Avram Bamachaze Lemor Altira Avram Anochi Magen La Shesekarcha Barbe Meo Vayomer Avram Adonai Elohim Mati ten li v'anochi olech Ariri uven meshek Beit Yehuda mesek Eliezer Vayomer Avram hein li lo natata zara v'hine ben beiti yoresh oti v'hine devar Adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohewahe dawanu heyo Elav lemor lo yirashcha zekiim asher yetze mimecha hu yirashcha Vayotze oto hachutza vayomer vahabetna Ashamayma uspor hakokavim im tu kol ispor otam Vayomer lo ko yihi
ezah. Has joined.
Behemin Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Vayashavai Halo Tadaka That's the end of the Hebrew. Let's read the English now. This is chapter 14, verse 21. And the king of Sodom said to Avram, give me the souls and the possessions to take for yourself. Rashi's comment on that phrase, give me the souls. Of that which was captured that belonged to me, which you rescued, give me back the people only. And Avram said to the king of Sodom, I raise my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, who possesses heaven and earth. The comment on I raise my hand is in the past tense, I raised. This is an expression of an oath. I raise my hand to the Most High God. And elsewhere in the Tanakh, it's using a similar term. But I have a question, because when Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to find a wife for Isaac from his family back in Haran, he doesn't ask Eliezer to raise his hand. He says, put your hand under my thigh. And it's said that that's an expression of a vow or an oath. It could be that the actions are different because one is an oath and one is a vow. But we use the terms of oath and vow almost in exactly the same way. We don't consider them too much of a difference. There is a difference in the Bible in the sense that a statement of a promise is an oath. And when you utilize the name of God to confirm that promise, I swear to God in English, you're making a vow. But in our world, we use them almost simultaneously, you know, interchangeably. We don't make this distinction. And I'm wondering why Rashi is indicating there is a distinction. Don't have an answer, but I know the question needs to be asked. Verse 23, neither from a thread to a shoe strap, nor will I take from whatever is yours, that you should not say, I have made Avram wealthy. Rashi is saying this phrase, neither from a thread to a shoe strap will I keep for myself of the captured possessions, nor will I take from whatever is yours. And if you offer, literally say to give me reward from your treasuries, I will not take it. that you should not say, the Holy One, blessed be He, promised to make me rich, as it is said, and I will bless you. So he's not giving the king of Sodom, this negative person, obviously he's negative because he's the king of a city of negativity. This person should not have the ability to say that he was a tool of the Most High God, Hashem, who promised to make Abraham wealthy, and now you're making Abraham wealthy. So you can't say you're a tool of the Most High God, because that will give you standing and authority with people. Just as we think of tzaddikim as being connected in a more strong way to Hashem. And they gain authority, they gain honor by our recognizing that connection. Exclusive of what the lads ate and the share of the men who went with me, which is Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre, they shall take their share. Essentially, he's saying, I don't want anything. I will not take anything. But the men who join me, they are entitled. They should take a share. Chapter 15, verse 1. After these incidents, the word of the Lord came to Avram in a vision, saying, fear not, Avram, I am your shield. Your reward is exceedingly great. After these incidents, whenever the term achar is used, it signifies immediately afterwards. Acharei signifies a long time afterwards. After this miracle had been brought for him that he slew the kings, he was worried and said, perhaps I have received reward for all my righteous deeds. Therefore, the omnipresent said to him, fear not, Avram, I am your shield from punishment, that you will not be punished for all those souls that you have slain. And as far as you're being worried about receiving reward, your reward is exceedingly great. Abraham has already been promised his reward in earlier communications with Hashem. So why does he need to say exceedingly great without clarifying what is the promise? It's an interesting question. It's an interesting thing to ponder. Why didn't God reaffirm the promises he'd made earlier? And Avram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am going childless and the steward of my household is Eliezer of Damascus? Avram is saying, what does it matter that I have an exceedingly great reward? Because I don't have any children, so I have no continuity. There is a comment about the steward, about Eliezer being the steward of his household, Uven Meshek Beiti. And it's interpreted the way the Aramaic translation translates it as, and this sustainer who is in my house, my entire household is sustained by his orders. and by your orders they will be sustained, means my administrator. But if I had a son, my son would be appointed over my possessions. And why did we need to know that Eliezer is from Damascus? And according to the Aramaic translation, Eliezer was from Damascus, but according to the Midrash, the meaning is that he pursued the kings until Damascus. And in our Talmud, it is the word Dameshek, which is translated as Damascus, is interpreted as a noterikon, an acrostic for the word Dole Umashke. He drew and gave to drink from his master's teachings to others. And the Chabad Rebbe has taught that every child of Israel is a teacher of someone, of something. So whatever you learn, you should teach to others. And what you teach to others, the Rebbe of Chabad said, if all you know is to teach the Aleph Bet, then teach the Aleph Bet. And if all you know is to teach the Aleph, then teach the Aleph. And if all you know is to teach part of the Aleph, then teach part of the Aleph. There is no reason for you not to teach. It's incumbent upon you to spread the words of Torah in however you are able to do so. And Abraham is speaking to God, and he says, Avram said, behold, you have given me no seed, and behold, one of my household will inherit me. It sounds like actually a complaint, and that's what Rashi's comment is. So of what avail is all that you will give me? Because I have no inheritor. No one to demonstrate the continuity of my life. And many people in the non-Jewish world think that by accumulating wealth and possessions, that is their purpose, so that they can pass on to their children their continuity, their inheritors, something of their life. But the things you accumulate are not what you truly possess. What you possess are your good deeds, how you treat people. What you possess that you can pass on to your children are the lessons of Torah that you have learned and integrated into your life. Verse 4 in chapter 15. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one will not inherit you, but the one who will spring from your innards, he will inherit you. This is a promise that there'll be a child. But in one sense, he already has Ishmael. And why didn't Avram relate to Ishmael at this point? But we have to understand that this, he may not have impregnated Hagar yet. We don't know the chronology of the Torah verses, unless there's a reason to understand the chronology. Then the Torah tells us the chronology, or hints to us the chronology. verse 5. And he took him outside and he said, please look heavenward and count the stars, if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so will be your seed. We are not able to count stars, and that's really what this statement is teaching us. What we see out into space is limited by some aspect of our distance. We can see initially, Avram could see with his eyes, but that wasn't all of the stars, was it? And then when we developed the telescope, we could see more stars. And that, again, was not the limit. And as we've improved the telescope and mounted telescopes in space so they're not impacted by atmospheres, our atmosphere, we see more stars. And now we have an understanding that the universe is 13.5 billion light years old. A light year is the distance that's traveled by light in a year. It's a big distance. 300 and whatever thousand miles per second. And how many seconds in a year? You get to a very big number very quickly. A light year is still just a measure of distance. And we think it's 13.5 billion light years old, only because that's the distance that we can presently see. But we have all this concept of dark matter in modern physics. And dark matter is the majority of the universe. And we can't see it. It's concealed to us. This is a very meaningful concept. And we have to remember this verse as it applies to the ego of mankind. Just as each person has an ego, the group as a whole, all of humanity has an ego, because it separates us from other entities. And we have to constantly remember, just as I'm limited because I'm not every human being, humanity is limited because it is not every creation, not even every living creation. And verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him as righteousness. And Rashi says, and he believed in the Lord. He did not request of him a sign regarding this, but regarding the inheritance of the land, he did request of him a sign. And he said to him, how will I know? And he accounted to him as righteousness. The Holy One, blessed be He, accounted to Avram as a merit and as righteousness for the faith that he believed in him. This is a Aramaic translation of the Hebrew. Another explanation, for how will I know? He did not ask him for a sign, but he said before him, let me know with what merit will they, my descendants, remain here in the land. The Holy One, blessed be He, replied, with the merit of the sacrifices. Now, how can you interpret that from the simple reading? But we need to really look at that verse from the standpoint is what word is being used that's being translated as the faith? When it says he believes in the Lord, what word is being used? More than likely it's emunah, but we have to look. Actually, the word is he'emin. The vowels are not very different. And if you look at the vowels, there's a tradition that in gematria, the vowels have a gematria also. Every dot in a vowel has a numbered gematria of 10, and every line a gematria of 6. If we count, look at these vowels, we have 2 dots under the vav, 3 under the hey, 5 under the aleph, 1 under the mem, which would be 110. Now, we're not saying there's any dots under the nun. If we put the 2 dots, which is the tradition, be 130, is the gematria of the vowels. 130 is the gematria of the sulam, of the ladder, the tree of life. What is 130 is Mount Sinai, the Torah, the gift of the Torah. If we take a 102, which is the gematria of the word, and add it to the 130, we get 232, which is the traditional gematria of the word baruch, or blessing. These are powerful connections. We're out of time, so I hope you all have a beautiful, happy day, and are connecting with our mother Rachel, Rachel Imenu. Shalom Gadol to everyone. If you have a question, feel free to ask it. Any questions? Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom. Shalom, thank you.